Hi, and welcome to the Technocrat Live. As you might have noticed, we're running a little late tonight. Unfortunately, our guest had an all-too-familiar tech emergency and couldn't attend. But I didn't want you to miss out because the tech news is on fire. So I'm still going to do the dystopia report for you, and then we'll maybe we'll continue as next week as normal. It's a little unclear. It's going to be a Halloween surprise. So, yeah, I'm not really sure what's up with that. So, sorry for the late start, but without further ado, here's the dystopia report. So, the first piece of news. So we have. I want to do a retraction. One of the reasons I wanted to do this is because I had misread a story last week, and we've complained repeatedly about how bad. Retractions are in the press, so I don't want to be part of the problem. Kudos to Nigel for picking it up. I actually had misread a really badly written story. And I don't want to just put all the blame on ZDNet, but I had to read it like five times before I really understood what they were saying. What they were actually saying is that what I had said last episode is that something along the lines of women were more likely to look up deep fake celebrity porn, and that was not what it was actually saying. On the fifth read, I realized what they were saying is women are more likely to become the victims of a deepfake in a porn. So in other words, they would use a pornography actress or actor. They would have a normal pornography actress and actor, and they would deepfake the celebrity woman's face on the porn actress.
You guys
so,
comment saying, retractions, don't worry.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, it's important to me because I want to make sure that, you know, thanks though. I appreciate your faith in the show. But it was kind of a goof on my part. So, it's out of the way. I did it. All right. So, we got a big one. We got a couple of big ones. And so it's actually a slow news week, but the good thing is I was able to glue some things together from various news stories in a way that I haven't seen other journalists do. So hopefully this is worth your while. The AAA has put out a report. I think it was it Wednesday? It might have been Wednesday. It might have been sooner than that. It turns out the current crop of autonomous vehicles not only are not making the road safer, they're actually murder bots. So they set up a bunch of... Now, this is AAA, the Automobile Association of America. They're a credible source. The report is 50-something pages, lots of details, pictures, diagrams, statistics. Turns out that autonomous cars... this is in daylight at 20 to 30 miles per hour. In that time range, they would set up dummies to have them cross the street on a rail as if they were a real person walking across the street. During the test suite, so this wasn't every single drive, but during the test suite of a normal day's driving activity, they killed 60% of the adults that walked in front of them. And 80% of the children. So they're actually child murder bots. So this, of course, is incredibly terrible news. It doesn't match the media hype about autonomous vehicles at all. And Google is in panic mode. Alphabet's exec is admitting that they overhyped self-driving cars, and actually they're trying to deflect the blame, but really it was Google all along. So the name of the company that is actually part of Google is Waymo, and they're in just total damage control mode. Of course, this doesn't mean that autonomous cars won't work, but I've always been making the argument all along that it isn't enough that they're as dangerous as people. They need to be significantly less dangerous than people for them to be legally viable. So apparently we're way in the other direction. Yeah, they really should be working on trains first. It's an easier problem to solve. So that's the first one. Also huge news. Google has officially announced a month after the rumors started circulating that they have a 4-bit quantum computer. and they're claiming that it's capable of doing capable of quantum supremacy in some rare cases, not common cases like the fear is with encryption, but in some rare cases. Apparently, that's not even good enough for IBM. IBM has publicly made a statement that they are full of it, and the results are not that impressive. And I would love to chime in and give you a computer science perspective on this, but as far as I know, there's no white paper, there's no video, there's no specs, there's no nothing.
Apparently, they want to use it for the Stadia, too.
For the Stadia?
Yeah, the Google Stadia.
Oh, okay.
You know what that is?
No, I don't know what that is.
Their new streaming gaming platform.
Oh, the streaming gaming platform.
You have a controller and you connect it straight to your TV or whatever, and you stream from like YouTube or whatever. They're big servers. Apparently, the quantum computer is supposed to help with that.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean,
better quality than like local playing. Better response time and everything.
Right.
I don't know how that would work.
Yeah, well, I mean, theoretically, the same kind of the same kind of compute power that you use for encryption, you could use for compression. And like we were saying before, we had this huge conversation in the studio for like 2 hours. We were just all hanging out and talking tech. It was glorious. I'm sorry you guys didn't see it, but we it got a little dark and twisted. It was a dark and twisty road, so you know, sometimes you don't want to go there until we scope it out for you. So we scoped it out for you, maybe next time. I guess that could work with the compression side of things. I think that would be where it would work. I mean, of course, you want to encrypt all net traffic. In an ideal world, everything's also encrypted, so that would be another layer of needing compute power. But apparently, the current quantum computer prototypes are nowhere near that. The problem is this could lead to a no more secrets scenario. Where all encryption breaks, and if that were to happen, there would actually be a national security emergency, not just in commerce, but it also could break all kinds of military and civilian technologies, like the power grid, you know, banks, things like that. So I'm not surprised that we don't have all the details if it is true. But without a white paper, without videos and stuff, you know, just rumors and people in the field loosely confirming things. So I think it's nothing. On the other hand, the people in the Bitcoin space seem to not think it's nothing because Bitcoin dropped right after the announcement. I find it hard to believe that's a coincidence. The good news is it only dropped $500, so it's probably just a... In a world where $500 is not even a big deal in Bitcoin, tells you everything you need to know about the situation. Whatever. I'm not impressed. I'll be impressed when I see some specs. So and another I told you so moment. Sorry, there's a lot of these this month. Apparently, the cloud computing cost of data transfer is growing. So over the past 2 or 3 years, it's been growing. In particular, Apple took a huge hit. That was major news last year because they moved a lot of this stuff off of competitors' cloud platforms. But the data transfer cost for cloud computing is way the heck up. I don't really have a good contrast for this. I told you so. Just read the articles. But in particular, one thing you might want to look at, unfortunately, everything I found wasn't behind paywalls. But one of the things I found was Bank of America apparently built their own private cloud rather than use one of the public clouds. And they're claiming they saved $2 billion with it. So,
the $2 billion that they got from embezzlement?
Yeah, well, you know, they're not exactly a moral leader. But, you know, when you have a big megacorp that spans continents, sometimes, you know, you got to break a few eggs to make an omelet. So, yeah, you know, I don't know if that's their corporate logo, but, you know, I don't want to get too distracted from the cloud computing point. Anyway, yeah, I mean, the numbers don't look great. You know, it looks like exactly what I said. Sure, cloud computing is cheap, but if you ever decide you want to leave, that's when you pay. Told you. All right, so... another one is... some schools have... I recently... okay, that was my guest. He's I think he's finally getting out of work. Yeah, okay. He's in Manhattan. We're not. So that'll tell you everything you need to know right there. Ooh, okay. I don't know if I can repeat that. keep the comments coming. I think that one might be classified, though. He's going to laugh later when he looks at this. I actually had to... I want to make this personal. So I have kids, and my kids are looking at high schools right now. So one of the things, we're looking at private high schools. You know, we're not sure what we're going to do, but the possibility of going to a private high school means that we're getting all the features, doing the tour. And one of the things that we found about the private high schools is that they all give away computers. And that actually the students are expected not only to use the computers for their assignments, but that they're... I don't want to talk now. Talk to me on the show. Sorry, this is really funny. My guest is speaking in a language that you can't understand. They've been giving laptops away, and not only expect you to do your assignments on them, but also... they expect you to do your scheduling through it, and that's how you check your schedule and all this kind of stuff. Sometimes it's an iPad. Usually it's some sort of notebook, a tablet or some kind of notebook. But apparently Silicon Valley does not do this. The people in Silicon Valley have long complained about the psychological effects and have been citing studies and doing local civic stuff mainly in the Silicon Valley, California area, trying to get screen time for their kids reduced. So while they're doing one thing, everybody else is doing another. While they're zigging, everyone else is zagging. Kind of an interesting thing and kind of an interesting hypocrisy. And I can confirm that, yes, in New York, this is definitely happening. Screen time is being embraced. And I'm okay with that, but... we have we've encouraged our kids to get to the point where they're bored, so they don't have that, like, you know, like the kid that never gets to eat candy, and they just frantically run to candy at any opportunity. You know, our kids have gotten plenty of computer time, so they're actually willing to interact with human beings once in a while on their own without having to force them. So maybe it's too late for that. I'm not really sure where the answer lies. Probably somewhere in the middle. But anyway, just kind of an interesting thing. You might want to look into their various complaints. Another big ticket item, a person, there's an engineer from Sweden, I think, who has, thanks to Lee for this one, thanks a lot, I appreciate the hit, has proposed a new yellow light algorithm. Indicating that he can prove the case that a longer duration yellow light is actually safer. And the thing about a longer duration yellow light that's really important, if you remember from the previous dystopia reports, Ohio passed a law stating that you could only have red light and speed cameras if you could prove a safety need. This is kind of a pet peeve of mine. They're starting to set up more speed cameras in New York City in the worst possible locations. They're really not required, and really all it's doing is driving traffic to side streets. Some of my, you know, people who know me have known I've been complaining about this recently. It's very bad city management, and it's just getting worse. I mean, people, literally, you get a ticket for doing 35 and a 30 on a road that used to be 40 just a few years ago. I don't know what magically changed that it's so dangerous now, but people are doing 50 on the side streets where the speed limit's supposed to be 25 to avoid them, and that sucks. That's just bad management. So, I really have a problem with non-safety-oriented speed cameras. I think Ohio's decision is a good one. So this Swedish engineer proposed a new yellow light algorithm. He proposed it to the Institute of Transportation Engineers. Apparently, Oregon's tacked. This was against Oregon. I guess his wife got a ticket there or something. And apparently Oregon's tact on this was, oh, we're just going to make it so you legally can't call yourself an engineer, to try to prevent him from proposing his algorithm. Not there's something wrong with the algorithm. We're going to attack your accreditation. I don't know what universe they're in, but accreditation is attacking itself at this point. Being capable of writing great algorithms has proven itself over and again in open source as being subject to skill, not permission. So I screw you, Oregon. Anyway, good news is they lost. Apparently, they lost their ability to strip him of his engineer title. So this is going forward, and so Oregon may be forced to do something somehow within their own legal mechanisms, where they have to lengthen their yellow lights or admit that their traffic cameras aren't making anything safer, which is probably true. I've kind of had it. We need more tax money, because you know what? Speed cameras and people writing tickets for parking tickets is not the same as a beat cop. I'd rather have a beat cop. I'd rather money be spent on that. Even if they can write only 1/10 of the speeding tickets, it still affects the behavior enough that it slows traffic down. And they can actually stop other crimes. I just don't understand why this fascination. Oh, a computer said it, so it must be true. Yeah, okay. Who wrote the algorithm? Yeah, so yay for good algorithms. So I don't know if you heard anything about Disney Plus, but Disney Plus is coming out in November. I actually have already signed up. I'm psyched about it. I'm not really psyched about Star Wars. I hope I'm wrong about that. I love Pixar, and Disney has some great content. In particular, their older cartoon content. The kids seem to like the live-action movies, so maybe I'm wrong. What do I know? And, of course, Marvel. So it sounds like a giant advertisement until you hear this. So if you might have noticed, particularly in Linux, it's more obvious. I don't know if it's obvious on other platforms. Most content management systems or digital rights management systems now use a program called Widevine, which installs on your browser, and that's what manages your digital content to make sure you're not stealing or you're not, you know.
So it's a DRM?
It's a digital rights management kind of application. Actually, a lot of I use separate browsers now, and I only installed Widevine on the ones that I want to use for content, and I don't install it on the other browsers because it has lots of sites are using it now, so they're almost using it like Flash to kind of intrude and look at stuff they shouldn't be looking at. But aside from that, apparently, even though it works with Netflix and Amazon, apparently Linux isn't good enough for Widevine on Linux for Disney. So what the hell, Disney? The 20th century wants your DRM policy back. Yeah, you suck. And I have one more thing before we close tonight for the Dystopia Report. Which is, I actually didn't write it on the list stupidly, and it might be the biggest news on here. As I mentioned, CRISPR is tearing up the disease market. I don't think this announcement's actually CRISPR, but it might be CRISPR related. Actually, I just talked to a guy. I just met someone who works at Berkeley and had some good inside info on the CRISPR patent situation. So hopefully, I'll get him on the show sometime. If you're listening, I'd love to have you on. This probably isn't CRISPR related, but I just wanted to mention that. I thought that was kind of interesting, but. Cystic fibrosis, huge announcement. There's a new medicine for cystic fibrosis. If you have it, you probably already know. But if for some reason you don't, great. I'm really happy for them. Apparently, this is a treatment. This is not a cure. This is not changing your genetics. But apparently, it is like 80% more effective at reducing or severely reducing, 80% more effective at reducing the symptoms of cystic fibrosis. And the symptoms are what kill you. So this is incredible news. This is really a big deal. Cystic fibrosis is a death sentence for tens and tens and tens and tens of thousands of people. So great news. I'm really happy for you. And that's probably the best part about doing the Dystopia Report, is that all these cures that keep coming out are not dystopian. I love it, and it makes me really happy I decided to do this. Anyway, I'm sorry we don't have a guest this week. I'm about to go read the explanation offline. Hopefully we'll have him on again soon. And I guess we'll see you next week. All right, thanks for tuning in. Good night, and sorry for the short show. We'll see you soon.